Welcome, everyone, to another wonderful episode of the Sex and Horror Podcast with author Stacey Grenner and
Chantel Renee with crazy hair.
Hey. And you know what, Chantel? This is the first time it's just been the two of us in a long time. We've had a lot of guests back to back, and then I think we took a week or so off. But it's good to get back to, I've enjoyed the guests and all, of course. But it's good to get back to doing a review because we've been watching some good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. We've been trying to get to Poor Things for a long time. So that's what we're going to talk about, Poor Things. And we've been, we just went to see together. We went to see Late Night with the Devil a few nights ago. So Sunday. So I know you were really excited about talking about that one. So I can't wait to, and I wanted to talk about it with you, but I was like, well, let's wait so we could do a show on it and we can get our raw reactions then.
Okay. Well, you tell me, what do you want to talk about first? Oh, and then you watched something else though. You watched the Netflix series that's kicking up a big fuss right now.
Super Sex. Now look, Raquel Siffredi is one of my faves in the porn industry. So I watched that. I stayed up all night last night finishing that. I have watched other documentaries about him. Anything that comes out about him, I usually watch it. But this was different. It was a TV show. But hey, we don't have to get to that because I want you to watch it first. Like we could do a full episode on that because that's the whole show. Uh-oh, are you frozen? Oh, there you go.
I don't know. Am I?
Yeah, you're back now. At least on my end. So I just Poor Things and Late Night with the Devil. And I know we took a full episode to talk about Saltburn. So I'm not sure. It may take a full episode to talk about Poor Things.
There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah. So let's just wing it. And if we wrap up everything that we need to say with Poor Things within our allotted time, then we can move on to Late Night with the Devil. And if not, then we'll just, you know, end this and then record Late Night with the Devil. And then I'll just release both episodes back to back. So why not? I mean, people that subscribe to our podcast, I'm sure they will appreciate a bonus episode, right?
Sounds good.
Yeah. So what you been up to? I just saw you Sunday night. We went to the movies. And then I saw you Friday night also. You did an art show and it went really well. Over here is one of your pieces that I bought. You see that? That's a skull over there. And it was good because our last episode, we interviewed author Michelle Bergen and we mentioned about your art show. She came out and we had a chance to meet her face to face. So shout out Michelle, if you're watching, thank you for coming to Chantel's show and supporting her.
It was really cool to see her in person after we just got to talk to her. I didn't get to hang out much because it was actually a packed house.
Yeah.
But I did get to see her for a few minutes. And I think she got to chat up some other folks.
Yeah. And our guys from Houston Horror Film Festival came out. It was really great to see them. We have not gotten Tony on the show yet, but hopefully Scott will get him drunk one day and just pull out the camera and say, hey, somebody wants to talk to you.
Hey. That'd be great. That'd be a fun show.
Yeah. So I guess do we have anything? You know what? We do have something coming up that we should probably talk about. April 6th. That is a Saturday. Your girls are going to Bastrop, Texas, which is about 2.5 hours away, I think. And I think it might be my first time in Bastrop. It's going to be at the gas station. And we won't be doing the podcast. I'm sure we'll probably have some podcast stuff with the stickers, tumblers, and stuff like that. But we will be doing our author thing separately. But if you're in that area, come stop by and say hello. It is a free event.
Yes, it's going to be fun. And actually, if people don't know what this place is, it is the original gas station that they shot the Texas Chainsaw Massacre at. So when the kids go to the gas station, this is the gas station, and it has been turned into a barbecue restaurant, which is pretty funny. Oh, nice. So they do various horror events throughout the year, and they have the original Jason Voorhees, the very first Jason, who was on Friday the 13th, is going to be there signing autographs both days, the 6th and the 7th. However, they have authors coming out on the 6th, and I don't know if it's other vendors as well, but for sure a few authors are going to be there signing and selling books on the 6th from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. So yeah, if you are hearing our voice, you know people in the area, or you feel like taking a nice trip and seeing some beautiful blue bonnets all the way there and back, come out and see us and hang out and have some barbecue at the Texas Chainsaw Massacre gas station. I'm sure it's going to be extra barbecue-y.
That sounds good. And this is put on by the Cult Classic. Did I say that right? Cult Classic. Cult Classic.
Well,
Okay.
yes.
Yeah, the Cult
I
Classic.
don't
Okay.
know. I don't know if it's actually the Cult Classic or if it's just the barbecue restaurant or if they're one and the same. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay. Okay. I got tagged in a post from the Cult Classic by a few different people. Thank you to those people who tagged me in posts saying that they were looking for author vendors because that's how I found out about it. And then I told Chantel about it. And we was like, why the hell not? It's right down the street. It'll be, fun. So
I gotta get
yes.
y'all gotta yeah y'all gotta know Dicey's used to driving a 45-minute drive every time she wants to leave her house and go to Dairy Queen, so shit.
Out here in the sticks. So yes, do come and buy some books from us. But if you just want to hang out, that's always great too. I always say, just don't leave me hanging. Don't leave me standing there by myself all day. So
Yeah.
either come buy a book or come say hello. Either way, we'll be happy to see your face.
Yes, and hopefully we'll have good weather. We won't have no crazy weird weather like we've been having. Did you get
Right.
the hail the other day?
I didn't, but I heard that somebody's car got totaled. Who was that? Oh, the lady that does my lashes. I just got my lashes done today. She said that her
Wow.
sister's car was totaled behind hail.
Dang,
That's
that's a
yeah,
lot
that's
of hail.
yeah. A whole lot of hail. Ha, I like that. That sounds like a good book title. A whole lot of hail.
Yeah.
But there was a bridge accident today, and then so I know you heard about the big bridge accident, right? No? Okay, I heard about that because I couldn't avoid it. It was everywhere, and I kept people were sending me like news stuff and DMs about it. But there was one bridge that this the cargo boat or whatever you call it smashed into, and it just collapsed. It was a weird way it just collapsed. But that was one thing. When I was on TikTok earlier, I heard somebody mention that there was another one. I haven't heard anything about the second one, but apparently, except for the through this TikTok, apparently there was a second one that happened like 30 minutes later or something like that. Because she came on and she was like, "Man, I'm a conspiracy theorist," and I'm like, "Hold up, are they just trying to trap people in before this eclipse?" So I've been hearing all kinds of stuff happening because of the eclipse, like our digitals, our phones, cell service might be a little wonky. So I guess we'll see what happens. I saw a comment, somebody said, "You know what? I'm so tired. I don't care. Whatever happens, happens. Bring it on." And I can relate to that.
Well, we're making the show right now, and maybe only aliens will hear it after the eclipse.
Maybe. So if you're listening to this and it's after the eclipse, welcome. You're an alien. You're only hearing it because you're an
And if you have alien technology, find us in the rubble and bring us back to life so we can entertain you.
alien. And you have no excuse because if you're an alien, then you can catch your submarine. What do you call those things? Your spaceship. You can catch your saucer and meet us in Bastrop on April 6th. That's what you could do. So you got to ride there. And I'm sure if you can be flighted that way, it'll probably take you about 10 minutes, whereas it'll take us almost 3 hours. So there we have it.
Well, if you ride with me, it won't take that long.
I but I've told you how hard it is for me to stay awake when I'm driving now. Like, I'm having difficulty staying awake, period. And it started when I was taking the blood sugar pills. I stopped them because I was like, I just cannot stay awake. It was like I was getting a good 2 hours awake a day. But I haven't seemed to have woken up since. Like, I still feel like I'm asleep.
Let me tell you, I have discovered the power of the beet.
The beet?
I am drinking beet powder every morning. And I mean, I'm doing half the recommended amount and I am full of energy. It's crazy. The whole thing, I'd be joining the gym again.
That's B-E-E-T? Oh, God, I can't stand beets. I can't even stand the smell of them, the sight of them. Oh, my God. But it's powder, so you don't have to taste it.
You still taste it. You got to put it in something that, like apple or something like that, that'll take hide the flavor of it. Mm. Or like in a smoothie of some sort that has a stronger flavor. Because the flavor of a beet is very mild. So if you put it in something that has a stronger flavor, you shouldn't taste it. I put some in apple oatmeal I had the other morning and I didn't taste it at all. Today I put it in plain water and it tasted like beets.
Oh, God. Well, you know, I was thinking of trying this other mushroom stuff that I used to have. Some mushroom that's supposed to take the place of the caffeine and coffee. I was going to try something like that. It's like I'm already a walking pharmacy. And I don't mean like prescribed drugs. Yes, I do have my blood pressure meds. But I mean like all the vitamins and supplements that I take and carry everywhere with me. It's like, I got all these jars of everything, all these pills and gummies that I'm taking on a regular. So I stopped doing some of the other stuff. Like on top of that, you know, we're doing the collagen daily. But I have still been working out. I went to the gym today. I did. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah, I don't have the energy for you. But today I did have enough energy to work out a little bit. So I actually did work out some with my little bell, my dumbbell thing.
Yay. So listen, I don't know if y'all know, but we are trying our best to get fit. That is... That is a goal that we are working on. So you get a chance to come on this journey with us and see how we drop the pounds and how we get healthy and we get off, the meds and stuff like that. This is the end of March. So we still have April. Okay, I just told you about that event in April. We have the Texas AuthorCon in July in Dallas. And then we have the Houston Horror Film Festival in August. So maybe by August we'll be where we want to be. What do you think?
I'm really quiet on that one, huh, guys?
Silence was loud.
I will say if I continue with the beats, I might be good. Like, yeah, it gave me motivation to move and do something, because I tell you, I just haven't had it. Like, I have been, since I had my surgery, which was in, when was that? Like 2019, 20. Yeah. Like, I think it was, yeah. Cause it was
for me, for me, it was 2018.
So you're, I think it was the year after. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, ever since then, because I was working out like 3 hours a day, I was going crazy. And then mostly because I was nervous, right? Because I knew I was about to go sit in the surgery room for like 4 flipping hours. So I wanted my heart to be in good shape. So I just don't think I ever really recovered fully after that, because they had to actually cut my body open to take out all the stuff that was there.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't think I really got it back. And then when I started to get it back, I fucking got COVID.
Yeah. And
that knocked me the fuck out. See,
we're gonna make incremental changes as we go. I'm not eating sweets right now. I'm not drinking. And you know what's funny? Because I stopped drinking and I stopped eating sweets, it's everywhere. I mean, like everywhere. I really wanted some of those cupcakes at your event the other day, but I said no.
Easter on Sunday, girl.
Oh yeah, it's everywhere. Okay, well, I think because we've already spent our first 15 minutes catching everybody up, since it's just the two of us, so we do have a chance to do a lot of the housekeeping stuff, that we're probably only going to get through Poor Things, I think, this go round.
Well, let's talk about it. Let's start. Yeah. Let's dig in.
Yes! So, you were the one that told me to watch Poor Things. It was screened at Venice Film Festival. They wanted it to go to Cannes, but due to the timing, they weren't able to do it. But it screened at Venice Film Festival, and it won a Golden Lion. Since then, Emma Stone has won an Oscar. It was nominated for so many, won so many other Oscars. It's really a great film. I really, really, really enjoyed it. So I'd say I was going to do it like the way we did Saltburn, if that's cool with you.
Okay. Sure.
So what I found interesting about this is I think the categorization on IMDb tells you everything that you need to know about this film. It's a dark comedy. Mm-hmm. It's romantic. It's sci-fi, steampunk, drama, and, you know, like any combination of those. And I think that kind of says it all. I really, really, really love Emma Stone's performance. And I love Willem Dafoe's performance. And I love Mark Ruffalo's performance. This was the bold storytelling that I love. And so.
P.S. There was sex in it.
Yes, there's graphic sex scenes. Yes, there are. And come on. That's why we're talking about it, right? Why else would we be talking about it? Sex and horror podcast. Like, yeah, of course. That's why we're talking about it. Emma Stone was, you know, she did not hold back. You know, she grabbed whatever the director said, you know, this is what needs to happen. She was like, okay, cool. This is what we're going to do then. That's what the character would do. So I love an actor like that. I love the director. This is based on a book, by the way. I don't know if you knew that. Did you know that?
I think I did hear. Yeah, I think I did know that, but it was not something that I was probably paying much attention to.
Yeah, I had no idea. It was a 1992 novel. But okay, so the 10 things I learned from watching this film.
And by the way, set it up a little bit for people. This is actually a film. It's a twisted version of the female being a Frankenstein almost. So yeah. it's kind of there's some twist to it. And it is a highly powerful feminist movie without really trying to be a feminist movie. And we'll talk about that after you tell me your 10 things. So go.
Yeah. What I was thinking of this when I was watching it is that it felt very much like, what would women be without the programming, without the religious suppression, without the patriarchal bullshit, without the societal norms, who would we be? And so I haven't even gotten to my 10 yet, but Emma, she made some comments about this, but that was my initial impression of this, but I really loved how she worded it. And this is just roughly paraphrasing what she said, but she said, this is a woman reborn with a liberated mindset, free from societal pressures. And that's beautiful. That's exactly what this is. So there's graphic sex scenes. She's starting anew as a woman. She's seeing everything for the first time, experimenting. You know, she is an experiment, but she's experimenting with everything for the first time. So she's trying to understand the nature of sexuality, power, money, choice, and making her own rules, which I, you know, is like bravo for that kind of storytelling right now. I really love that. So this is one thing I learned. And you know, my list is always kind of satirical too. Like it's like, you know, mm-hmm. there's some truth to it, but I'm kind of trying to make it entertaining also, you know. So the more you ignore a man or treat him poorly, the more he'll love you.
And isn't that something men say about women? Go ahead.
I mean, you remember Mark's character, right? Mark Ruffalo, Duncan. Duncan was the character's name. Duncan was like, you know what? Don't love me. Don't fall in love with me now. I'm not the constant type. I'm not going to be around for long, you know, like I'm just here for a good time, not a long time type attitude. She was like, okay. And then she ran off. And then when she started getting with other people or going on doing her own thing, he was losing it. He was losing his mind. Now, how many times have we seen that happen? It reminds me of the books, Why Men Love Bitches and Why Men Marry Bitches. I think these are books by G.L. Lambert. And I read Why Men Love Bitches or something like that. And I mean, it seems like the more you give, the more you dote on them, the more you show them love and affection, and the more you show that you're there for them, you're the backbone, you're holding everything down, the worse they treat you. But go and start paying attention to everybody else. Suddenly, here they are. Well, why, you know, then they don't want to chase, or they're chasing other people that aren't paying them any mind. So if the ones that are ignoring them, the ones that don't give a fuck about them, those are the ones that they're chasing all the time. But be the one that's always answering the phone when they call, or always responding to a text, and they take you for granted. And we saw that with Emma's character. Emma is like, you know what? Bye. And he literally did lose everything behind her. But we see how the other guy wanted to marry her immediately. And she was as aloof as they came with him. Matter of fact, she said, I'm going to travel the world with this other man for a while. And when I come back, then I'll marry you. He was like, okay.
Yep.
What do you think about that?
I mean, I felt like, part of what it was her youth and her beauty, and that feeling that they have about themselves when they were with her because of those things about her. And I think a lot of the younger girls these days are kind of falling in that category where they're very much like, well, you know, I might just spend some time with you, but I might be on my way somewhere else too. And so I think that it's very interesting that we saw her acting that way in a world where men were used to being the ones that are chased. And she still had no concept of, you know, what was like. There was a part where she was at dinner with his friends, and there was a baby crying, and she's like, I'm going to go kill the baby or whatever. And he's like, no, you can't do that. You need to be careful what you're saying in front of my friends, and you just need to say this, this, and this. And she's like, okay. And then so they sat down, and the lady of the other person eating was saying all this terrible news about her ill father, I think it was, or something like that. And she's like, that's terrific. I wonder how they get this so crisp. And it was just such a funny part to observe, like, how stupid it is that anybody would tell their partner, don't pay attention and only speak, you know, polite. You know, it's just so stupid to think that that's the way anyone should be. And I see this in a few people that I know, a couple of girlfriends that I know, and I think, like, why would you behave that way? You don't look intelligent. You don't make me want to be around you because your behavior is so ignorant. Like, and it's because you're doing what your husband wants you to do instead of what you should be doing. So, in other words, instead of paying attention, instead of communicating correctly, instead of being yourself. And so I loved that about her, that she was just herself unapologetically. And as you said, it made these men go crazy and want to follow her and do whatever she wanted to do. But she was like, I'm not interested in that. You know, just kind of the same way men are with women too. I mean, it's kind of the same.
Okay. Did you, I also thought that it was interesting how it portrayed how much men want to control women. And that scene that you just mentioned was pretty spot on with that too. Like, he's like, you know what? I don't like the way you're talking right now. So just say this, just say this. But then also when he was on that cruise with her, and he's, you know, he tried to isolate her. Well, how they ended up on the cruise was because he basically was like, you know, I'm not going to be here with you. And then he couldn't stand the fact that she went out and she started seeing other people and doing her own thing. So he decided he was going to isolate her completely away from everybody and tricked her and, well, actually kidnapped her. This is kidnapping. He kidnapped her.
Oh, yeah.
And got her out there in the water on a cruise thinking it was just going to be the two of them. And so I was like, man, this maneuver that he's doing, we see it all the time, though. Like, his may have been on a grander scale, but we do see those controlling tendencies a lot. And since we're still in March, Women's Month, I feel like it's very appropriate to still stay on this topic and talk about this, which that's kind of like real horrors in the world also. This controlling nature of him, now he wants to get married. Now he wants to be with her, you know, because she was like, I'm just going to go and just be with other people then. And then suddenly it's like, well, you know what? I don't want you to be with anybody. No friends, no family, nobody. And, you know, it was the same. When he knew she was getting married to this other man, and he came in and he showed those tendencies then, though, already, where he was like, you can come over here with me. I want you to stay with me for a while. Like, instead of coming in to her home, courting her, everything, he took her out of that environment and put her, where were they, in London? I can't remember. They were, or France or something. Somewhere.
France or something, yeah.
Yeah, they were staying for a month, I think, or something like that. And so he thought that they, you know, they're just going to have fun together. And he was already showing signs of controlling. He snuck into her room, you know, when they were like, stay away from her. Like, he was already doing that. But this just drove him to a whole nother level of wanting to control because he couldn't. Because this was not someone he could tame. And he couldn't tame her because she wasn't already programmed to do what he wanted her to do.
Right. And that's one thing I did like about it, because her quote unquote father, who she called God, he, mm-hmm. Okay, so you find out how he makes her Frankenstein. At first, he thinks she literally is dumb, meaning the old school idea of the word dumb, meaning her mind was not capable of thinking and coordination and all these things. But then you find out why she's behaving this way, and as the movie progresses, she matures and becomes more capable of complex thinking, and then you discover why. I don't want to give it away because it is interesting, and it wasn't that big of a deal, like, as far as the plot goes to me, but it was just really interesting to observe this fresh new mind, I'll say, coming into the world. And the only person in her environment, in her formative years, I will say, that could have caused her any kind of actual suppression or damage, as far as like to make her feel guilt to not behave or think the way she was her maid. But because she was the only female. Mm-hmm. That was something I discovered that I learned in this movie. A lot of our concepts of the world and how we should behave come from the females of her life.
Mm,
so mm-hmm. She definitely didn't have a high opinion of the woman because she was just the maid. She was the help. So she had no real say. And she looked at God, her father, that's what she called him, God, as the overall, you know, word of the house. And he was extremely methodical. He was very rational. So everything he thought and said came from a very scientific perspective. So she thought very rationally and scientifically about things too. And so I felt like, yeah, I can see Most women would probably be this way if it wasn't for the females of their life who implant in their mind, you have to get married, you have to, you know, find a husband, you have to take care of your husband, you have to have children and raise your children. There's so much of what is expected of a female that comes from the females around her.
Yeah, the perpetuation of patriarchy. Yes. Okay, so I'll go a little softer then. So we kind of dug in right, going head first into some heavy concepts. So this is a little light. So we have an experiment, like you mentioned, she's like Frankenstein's monster. And so we have a mad scientist. Like, you can't have an experiment without a mad scientist. And mad scientists is what I learned, quote unquote learned, you know. Mad scientists are actually insane geniuses. Defoe's burp bubble that he was doing in the beginning. When that happened, I was like, what in the world is happening? What is that? That is disgusting. But the hybrid animals, like, if we had the power, if we had more mad scientists around, if we had the power to actually create like this, they wouldn't just be trying to have a pet cemetery like Stephen King, where they'd be trying to bring their pets back to life. They would be making hybrid animals. Now, I thought that was such a funny thing, seeing the chicken with the pig head, the dog head or something like, or the goat head, I can't even remember. But these hybrid animals. So in other words, for those of you who haven't seen it, it's a two animals made into one. And it's kind of shocking when you first see it. And plus, much of this movie is in black and white. Is it? Yeah, a lot of it is in black and white. Because I thought about that. Late Night with the Devil was a lot in black and white too. But yeah, this film has a lot in black and white, especially in the beginning. I think it changes. But at that house where they were, that's black and white, where Willem Dafoe's character is. But so what I learned is, summarizing, if we were mad scientists, we would be creating all kinds of weird anomalies, like crazy shit. What do you think?
Yes.
What would you create?
Oh, 100%. For me? Oh, gosh, there's no telling. If I was a mad scientist, I would probably try to create the perfect man.
You know what's interesting though is, at least here, normally I think when we have some sort of mad scientist, they are doing evil stuff, like they're creating something. Even if they're not evil, they create something that's evil, or they in their madness, you know, potions and stuff gets all mixed up and something evil is created from this. I like that. He genuinely was coming from a good place. And what he created was like from zero, childlike. And so it wasn't naturally evil. It didn't naturally have darkness to it. Now, the darkness came with the experiences in the world, how she interacted, how she went out, and what she discovered when she found out about poverty and stuff like that. That's when the darkness and the sadness came in. Otherwise, she was just kind of a blank slate. So I did like seeing that we did not have this bad, this naturally bad characters.
Sure. No, that makes sense. And I think that's actually true in life. I don't think most people are inherently bad. I think you get some that are really rotten. But for the most part, I think most of us are fairly decent humans. We don't want to hurt other people, but you know, we live in a world that has really learned to press our buttons. And I'm really disappointed in you that you didn't communicate what would be the perfect man, because I was going to say male with female arms, because then he would be too weak to do anything and he had to do what I said. And then if he didn't do what I said, I would replace his mouth with a radio so I could just listen to the music I wanted. Every time he got mad, a song would come on that I enjoyed.
I guess I didn't say anything there because I was like, it's absolutely impossible. Like, of all the things we could create, that's the one thing we wouldn't be
able to. Yeah, but we can But you just said we could create, like, take parts from one thing and put other parts on there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying, there could be some bird feathers involved. I don't know.
I'd be willing to be on that scientific project to see what we can come up with. Yeah. A little bit of this, and a little bit of that, and see what happens. There would definitely be some worshiping involved. You know, they would have to be on their knees a lot. Yes. Okay, something else that I learned. The second woman that was created, there was another woman that was created to try to replace this one because she was gone, and she was completely different. And I like the fact that we're basically saying that even if we were all wiped clean and we were all starting over completely and we didn't have all the societal things, we would be different. We would all still be different. We would all have our own perspectives. We would all have our own, brain capacities, and we would have our own physical limitations. But so you can create this woman. You can create this woman. You can put the exact same amounts of ingredients in. You can bring them to life, animate them in the same exact same ways, but they are going to be different.
Correct. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Because we are all individuals and we are all different, even though people like to try to say, oh, we're the same. We're not. We may have similar behaviors, but the way we react with those behaviors are different.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there'd be a whole lot more people in prison or a whole lot more of you know what I mean? There's so many different things that could be said. Oh, well, this would all everybody. It's just not possible. There's too much randomity as far as it comes with the spirit himself. Like, we are who we are, and that's just how it goes.
Right.
Can't be not everybody's going to see the same thing when they paint art. Not everybody's going to play. They may use the same notes, but they're going to use them differently when they write songs. Hell, I mean, for that matter, that's one thing I loved about Bella Baxter. She started to learn not everybody fucks the same.
Right.
However, you can get them to fuck you the way you want to be fucked. You just got to be clever about it.
Right. All right. Now, one of the controversies that I've seen arise from this film, and, you know, people are going to have issues with some of the feminist aspects of it and all that, and I don't care. But what I did find that was interesting is that there are some consent issues that arose. People were complaining about the fact that she was essentially had the brain of a child. And in which case, it's like, it's fiction, you know? So it's what we talk about all the time. If you cannot watch this and enjoy it through the lens of understanding that she is a consenting adult woman, whilst this is a sci-fi element where she has been wiped clean and she is learning how to walk, learning how to talk, learning how to exist with this new part of who she is. You know, we find out later on that she was someone else at some point. She's just forgotten who that is. And like, she even has a scar that shows she has had a baby at some point, or she was pregnant at some point. But so she was a woman before. It's just that now she is like a child. So it's like a reminder to people, you can't enjoy fiction if you don't keep in mind that it's fiction.
Correct. You know, the thing with consent, I get what they were saying. I think we're just going to have to say spoiler alert here. People, turn it off if you want to watch. Come back and listen after. So I'm going to give you the main little tidbit that I left out earlier. So this female committed suicide, and the doctor found her. She was pregnant. And the fetus was not dead, but the body was fucked up or something. So he was able to basically take the brain from the fetus and put it in the mother's head because she was brain dead. So he brought the body back to life with the child, the infant's brain. So essentially she was growing up, and you got to remember, she was in a body that already knew how to walk, that already knew how to talk, that already, yes, essentially she didn't understand, but we weren't there in the very beginning of this experiment. She had already come to a point of walking, speaking words, knowing how to eat, like being on her schedule. She was pretty much, I think when we came into it, she was what you would call an older toddler perspective of a person, and very quickly developed into more of an adolescent phase where she was masturbating and learning about her body and the sensations that she liked. And then all of a sudden sex was given, like presented here, I'll give you this if you would like. And she's like, yes, I want it. And so it was certainly not any kind of rape scenario or anything like that. It was a developmental state. And again, this is another thing that women try to suppress in each other, children especially, is that we are sexual beings. You know, it's one of those things that we rush to hide in children, we rush to hide in adolescence, we rush to hide, and as you know, until all of a sudden they're married and now they can have sex. I mean, it's not true. Women are probably much more sexual than men. Mm-hmm. So much so, men always complain that we don't want to have sex. Well, the thing is that women have to connect, right? We have to have a mental connection to have affinity enough to want to have your fucking penis or mm-hmm. vagina. We don't want it if we don't have a connection with you. And there's nothing you can say or do that's going to make us want it unless you're Channing Tatum and you're looking hot. Like, it's just not going to happen. And even then, it'll only be fun for a little bit. It won't be as pleasurable for a female if she had the mental connection with you that she prefers to have. And I think Bella Baxter, again, this is the when I say Bella Baxter, I'm talking about the main character in this movie that Emma Stone plays. Bella Baxter has learned that. Like, when she, her boyfriend left her high and dry, took all her money and took off and left her in the middle of a city where she was not anywhere near her family. Mm-hmm. She's like, well, you know, I'll find a place to stay. And then she happened to find a place that was a brothel. Mm-hmm. And the lady said, well, if you sleep with some men, I'll give you money. And she's like, wait, I can get paid for that? Okay. But then she's like, this isn't as pleasant as it was before. And then she's like, okay. And then she started thinking smart. Well, let's have conversations. Let's talk. Let's play games. What do you like? You know? And then the next thing you know, all the sex she was having was pleasurable for her as well. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing too. Like, we are really made to feel wrong for our sexuality as females. And so for me, when I hear things like people are blowing up and consent, it's all about them freaking out to see that free feminine female sexuality, because that is not something a feminist would normally do. That they're, even though they're feminists, they're repressed sexually because it's not about showing our sexuality. It's about showing our equality. Bella Baxter is both. She is both equally as intelligent and rational and sexual and as passionate as she wants to be. There's no apologies because she has no logical reason to not be.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, I thought feminism was about being able to be free to be who you want to be anyway. I thought it was, yeah, you want equality and all that. But, like, you have the people who are traditional wives staying at home. And you have the women who go to work and have kids also. And then they seem to be battling out on who is actually... who is suppressed and who is doing right by their family, who is not. But the idea of feminism is that you both are doing whatever it is that you want to do. So if you chose this path and this is what you want to do, then great. And if you chose this path and this is what you want to do, then great. The problem comes in is when you are being forced to do one or the other and you don't want to, and it's not who you are. So feminism is saying you both are good. You both are right, as long as you're doing what you want to do and being who you really are. And I feel like Emma is the quintessential being of a woman who is exactly who she is. As development, every interaction she has, it all helps her to grow. She's learning how to talk. She's learning, you know, and I mean, like, by talk, I mean, her vocabulary is expanding. So she may start out with CCAT run, and by the end, she's forming logical thesis level discussions, you know, where she is contemplating philosophy and stuff like that. So her brain is developing, her analytical skills are developing. And from that, she's in with her experience, she start running everything through the lenses of her experiences. And but she always is who she is and is not really influenced by anybody else's perspective. It's only through her perspective and based on her own personal experiences. And it's told from a science fiction perspective. So you need to be able to accept it as it's coming to you and understand that she is giving consent. She has the ability to give consent. Because
and it's not only that, but it's what she wants. That's all consent means. It's what I want, so therefore I am allowing it.
And when she was just learning about masturbation and, oh, you know what? I could take this and stick this here. Watch this. This is what happens. She was just doing that to herself. And like you were saying about kids, are we just to believe that kids just wake up one day when they turn 18 and, oh, suddenly they are sexual beings? Suddenly they are discovering, oh, you know what? This goes in here and this goes here and this feels good here. Or have we been learning that about ourselves as we've grown up and go along? So I felt like the movie did a great job of showing her learning that process. And when she was ready to bring in a partner, that's what she did.
Yeah. And you know, the thing was, the other scientist who she was going to marry was there when she's like, oh, what happens if I use a banana? And he's like, hey, Bella, you can do all that you want. It's just not appropriate to do it at dinner table, you know, and around others. Usually it's private. And she's like, oh, okay, you know. So it was like she could have some direction and then understand, oh, it's private, which means I only enjoy it with myself, mm-hmm. versus it's wrong and you shouldn't touch yourself and blah, 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 blah. So, right. You know, I find it, you know, I just find it really interesting. And of course, I mean, the majority of the songs on our planet and the stories on our planet are all about the repression of life, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's sexuality or whether it's somebody's will, you know, free will to be who they want to be or have, you know, whatever it is that they are, be whoever they are. We're always struggling to keep that freedom. And so I thought the film did a great job to show us that people are the reason why we have all the suppression and oppression in our world. Other people.
Right. Something else I learned was, I know I mentioned before that this was a 1992 novel that has been made into this film. And I just like that. I like that because in this day and age, everything is just coming back. Everything is a reboot. Everything is the same thing we've already had before. And if you happen to be over 40, then you remember it as a child or a teenager. And so it's not like there's been 100-year span between the old stuff and the reboots. It's like, it's been our lifetime. So that's part of why they're bringing it back. Cause it's like nostalgia and we got this built in audience. But anyway, the stuff that's being greenlit, it's like, you wonder, Hollywood, hello, are we running out of ideas? Are we not creative anymore? Like there's a lot of creative stuff out there that hasn't been made into a film yet. Let's try that. Even if you think that everything creative has already been written, it still hasn't been produced for the screen. Now, we know that there's still a lot of creative books. There's still a lot of creative scripts that are coming out. But there's so much more that feels very original that we can go in and produce. We don't have to keep regurgitating the same things. We don't have to keep producing the same stuff. This was a great film, and I had never heard of the book.
Yeah. Yeah, and it won awards, like you said, and it was just, I think the actors, I felt their exhilaration in getting to create this story and do something very different. I mean, there was definitely some tropes in there. There was the coming of age. There was the like you said, the men who were trying to control her, because there was her ex-husband at one point, the mother's ex-husband of the female that controlled the body.
Yeah,
he was a piece of work. And so there were some tropes there to go through, but the reactions to them were so original and so much fun. And it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect in all the way it was portrayed. And it was very exciting and different to observe. You know, people love the sceneries of the clothing. You know, it was a very, you know, interesting perspective of the world. It was very science and sci-fi. And it was overall, I think, a beautiful tale, and a very, to me, I realized from watching this film that women control a lot more in this world than we say we do. And it's not, I'm not saying outside of ourselves, outside of our homes. I'm talking about inside of your home, the things you say to your children, the things you say to your sisters, your aunts, your cousins, your girlfriends, you are affecting them and their life. So you got to think about that, ladies. If we want this world to change, it's going to start with us.
Yeah. TikTok has been very instrumental in that, which is one of the reasons they probably want to do away with it. Something else I learned is in this particular thing, the main roles were British characters played by American actors. And usually it's the other way around, right? Is British actors playing American characters. So, hey, turnaround is a beast.
Yeah, especially in the Marvel universe. So many of those guys are all English.
Yeah.
Even in The Walking Dead, a lot of our horror stuff that we love.
Yep. Yeah. And they did a fantastic job, because I was beginning to wonder, like, is it possible? Like, can we actually do those characters as well as they can do American characters? Because it doesn't seem that way. But I think this is a pretty good representation of the fact that, yes, they can. They absolutely can. Okay, so some of the characters that I really loved gave some good quotes. There, you know, Sweeney, you mentioned Sweeney, you brought her up. That was the brothel owner. She was a great character, great quotes. And I felt like her quote was also something to learn. It was, so Sweeney said, "We must work. We must make money. But more than that, Bella, we must experience everything. Not just the good, but degradation, horror, sadness. This makes us whole, Bella, makes us people of substance, not flighty, untouched children. Then we can know the world. And when we know the world is ours." I think that's a pretty, pretty good quote. Another one was from Harry Astley. That's the black dude. I really liked his character also. And the woman that was with him. Bella said, "If I know the world, I can improve it." Harry said, "You can't. This is the real point. Don't accept the lie of religion, socialism, capitalism. We are a fucked species. Know it. Hope is smashable. Realism is not. Protect yourself with the truth." Bella said, "I realize what you are, Neri, what you are now, Harry. Just a broken little boy who cannot bear the pain of the world." And he said, "I suppose so." So I really enjoyed those interactions between them, but I think that those show moments of where the movie is trying to tell us something. It's trying to show us something. It's mirroring what we're facing, I think, without making it preachy.
Yes.
Let's see. Oh, and you mentioned something about the great lover. When you have a great lover, it sets everyone else up for failure. when you have a great lover. But, and you know what? That's what I said that I learned from this, because I thought it was funny. But you brought up a good point before when you said that, you know, so she started out great right in the beginning. She had a good level with Duncan. And then she discovered, like, wow, he really was good, because the rest of them are trash. But like you said, some of them are teachable. And so she started learning, hey, if I have a real connection with them, then it can be better. So, hey, that's something to be learned too, I suppose.
And you learn as you age, for sure.
Yeah. There was one other quote. This will be my last quote that I really enjoyed from the movie. I'm something of a romantic myself. You remember when Dr. Godwin Baxter, this is played by Willem Dafoe, and I loved it, and I laughed. I mean, I laughed throughout the whole movie, even though it's kind of serious. It's a serious movie. There are many, many, many laughable moments. That's why I said that dark comedy categorization was really on point. But that, for those of you who don't know, is a throw to Willem Dafoe's character in Spider-Man when he says, I am something of a scientist myself. Which is interesting, because here he's a scientist. So I was waiting for him to say scientist. I thought he was going to say scientist, but he said, I'm something of a romantic myself. You know, the one thing about this movie that I didn't like, and I can't say I didn't like it because I liked everything about it, but the one thing that went differently than I thought it was going to, and let me say also, those of you who listen to our show on a regular basis know I love things that are unpredictable. I need to be surprised. And so I did not know where this movie was going throughout. So if you are also like me and you like to be surprised, then you should enjoy this too if you haven't watched it. But there was one thing, Chantel. Willem Dafoe's character, the scientist, I thought he would have been immortal. I was hoping that he figured out a way, especially with this young scientist there, like, tell him how to make you better, or put somebody else's brain, put your brain in somebody in another body or something. I really thought they were about to do that. I thought they were going to transfer his brain into something else. And I didn't expect that he was really going to be gone at that moment, especially if we're talking about somebody that has hybrid animals, that has put this woman's baby brain into her own body. You know, I was really expecting that something was going to be able to be done for him too.
Well, I think what they were trying to show us there was that he was the most intelligent amongst his peers. Mm-hmm. So it was not just any scientist that could do what he was doing. At the end, Bella did successfully do a brain transplant, but it wasn't human to human. So I think had she tried to do it, it might have failed. And I think he didn't want her to have that weight of losing him, you know, through her efforts. It would have been better to just let nature take its course. But she did make one brain transplant successful with an animal. It was animal to human, but, you know, she's working her way up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, between her and his protege, which was her husband, you know, I thought that they were going to be able to, I don't know, have his notes, you know, have him coach them through it before he died, something that was going to have him live on. But, you know, alas, it wasn't meant to be.
Well, like I said, I think for me, intellectually, I think it was his way of not putting her through something he would have felt she was not mentally ready to accept. And to accept that you're the responsibility of the death of your parent, that's a lot.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that's why he chose to just let nature take its course.
I get you. All right. So anything more you want to say? We have beat this to death and we're right at almost an hour. Anything more you want to say about Poor Things?
No, I just think everyone should watch it. It's a great film, I think, for females to see and to absorb. I really think that we have to do better with each other, ladies. I think that young and both young and old, we just have to see what the reasons people are doing the things they're doing, and then understand it, and then strive to do better both for ourselves and hope that they can strive as well to do better. Lead by example with one another. I'm not saying that I give up on men. Of course, I'm still, you know, I have to share the planet with males, and I do love men. I love penis like a gay man, but I really want to say that I think it starts with us. You know, we raise the children, we raise the men, we have to do better, ladies.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for this discussion. I've enjoyed it. Hopefully our listeners and viewers, hopefully you all have switched to the view part, the watching part of this with us, as we have.
And if you're hearing us, you can see us on Spotify.
Yeah, on Spotify. And we've done pretty much our whole fifth season this way. So speaking of which, we are maybe 1 or 2 months away from starting our sixth season. So if you want to come in, I know we got a lot of guests lined up for April and May, but if you want to get in on season 5 before we end it and move into season 6, reach out to us and let us know, and we will put you on. I would also like to say that I want to make sure that I follow up with people more now. Rest in peace to a former professor of Morris Overstreet. I talked to him at an event last year, and he owned a funeral home. He's been a judge. He's been a law school professor. The law school professor is how I knew him. And he owned a funeral home. And, you know, I had been wanting a guest that had a funeral home because I wanted to talk about funerals and stuff like that, you know, that whole industry. And we had a long conversation about it. And I used to run into him at events all the time, and we talk about that. But he said he was going to be a guest on the show, and it was on me to reach back out to him. I had his card, and I was supposed to call him and schedule, and I didn't. And he passed away a few weeks ago. And so that's an opportunity that's missed. I will miss him, talking to him. Very, very smart fellow, and had, you know, a wealth of knowledge, lifetime of knowledge. And so I say that to say, if you want to be on the show, you better reach out to us and let us schedule you. I won't delay in scheduling anybody again.
Yes, come on and talk with us and cut up and enjoy your life for an hour. Yeah. If you can.
All right. Good night. Thank you for watching. Everyone.